The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for having me back.
I'm looking forward to it. You're an old friend of the show. You've been on many times. It's great. We usually get about this time of year, we start talking about the budget. I guess we got about a month and a half to go there, right?
Is that right? Yes, we're going to have to wait for some more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Got the preliminary sort of blueprint out, but, the devil's in the details, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So today I think we're going to talk about markets and management and a little bit something things in that area, and as a former SES, right, for DOD, right?
No, so management experience. I was a senior officer. I was not an SES.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. But anyway, I'd like to talk to you about markets and the scope of markets. And I think you pointed out there's a great deal of misunderstanding about the federal market in terms of its scope and complexity. And I'm just going to turn it over to you, and you have at it.
Yes, there is a lot of misunderstanding about it. You know, there are a lot of people that are trying to understand it. Certainly contractors are trying to understand it. And as we are in the first hundreds of days of the Trump administration, there's a whole lot more anxiety about trying to understand what's going to be happening. But what we're also going to, I'd like to talk about today is also what the government is trying to do to understand the market. Because if you're going to be an informed buyer, then you need to understand the market more. And a lot of that understanding is dependent on data.
Okay. So are you talking about category management, Ray, or what are you talking about here?
Well, that's one aspect of it, because category management, if you look at the basic requirements in the category management documents that came out a couple of years ago, the basic requirement says initially, in fact, the words are, a key preliminary step for the category team is to understand the spend in the category. Now, how you do that is by spend analysis. How you do spend analysis is a collection of market dynamics, trends, drivers, that kind of thing. But it also involves immense amounts of data. And that's where I think the whole thing is getting rough on the edges and execution.
You know, I think of it too as like this is a huge amount of data. And just being able to make sense of it, I think, is going to be a challenge in and of itself. Do you have any sense, given your data crunch and data and number crunch, and how much data we're really talking about here? Or is it just beyond kind of really figuring out?
No,
part of the process, right?
There's a lot of data. Okay. One of the most important tools for understanding federal spend is the procurement data system, FPDS. And yesterday I downloaded some more 2016 data. So downloading one file of 2016 data, which is still not complete, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
10 gigabytes of data. Millions and millions and millions of contract records and actions. And, that's what you got to go through. And it's just unfortunate that the data, as big as that file is still not complete. Hello.
Right. That's amazing. So when you think about that data, that's just one source. Are there other sources that are out there that you look to, for example, when you're trying to figure out the government markets or what's going on?
Yes. And probably there are many, many sources that I use, but probably the two other most important ones are the GPC, or Government Purchase Card, which is SmartPay 2, and some of the predecessor SmartPay programs. So looking at credit card purchases, which unfortunately there's not a lot of granularity in that, but that's part of the picture. And another big chunk of data is reported for the MAS, multiple award schedules, and that's called SSQ or Schedule Sales Query, which is, I think it's SS-19. FSS-19, the old system.
Right, still around.
Still around, you know, but that is pretty much golden data when it comes to schedule spend. Now, do all those three major sources coincide? I'll just say there's overlap, mm-hmm. but they don't coincide, really. And that's right. the unfortunate part about it, and that's why.
Do they complement each other, or do they?
Yes. I mean, if you, and I always say it's really important to understand how the government thinks, how they act, and when a procurement clerk, which is often the person who's actually going to fill in the FPDS files, you know, when they make mm-hmm. that report, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they copy what they put in the last contract action, may not be accurate. Sometimes they may get, they may pick up the wrong contract type. They may have flubbed the number, the contract number or task order number. I mean, a human mistake's understandable. You know, but that you have to get a sense of that to really understand why the data does not correlate as strongly as it should and why there are overlaps and underlaps.
You just talked a little bit about the human element, right? And that,
yes.
And then humans provide the data, right, for FPDS, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So is there—
I mean, there are contract writing systems that
yeah.
theoretically can generate that, but it still requires a human in the loop.
I mean, is that one of the next steps in this, to take the human piece out of it, to try to get better data, greater integrity of the data, or is that really the—
It could be, but, you know, that's a big IT system, you know, uh-huh. and we're going to spend money on
that. That's some IT modernization, right?
Yeah. Are we going to spend money on that? Probably not. Well, yeah, but I believe that it's, and anybody who plays around with big data sets, mm-hmm. you know, it looks at the data dictionary, and there is one for FPDS. Now, you know, even the data dictionary is subject to a little bit of interpretation, but it is pretty substantial in its detail. And that data dictionary should indicate to the user, the human in the loop,
right.
you know, whether the data is correct or incorrect, even before they put it in. But that means you got to sit down and read the dictionary. And the dictionary then in turn is based on the FAR itself. So the processes in the FAR and, you know, types
been
of
around
contracts.
Forever,
and,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all there, but being able to integrate it, and, you know, I'll give some, you know, deference to the government workers. In many cases, they are a little bit overwhelmed with the mm-hmm. work that they have on their
in right. Well, this would be the last thing people would be worrying about, right? A loaded
perhaps.
Data, right?
Perhaps.
Oh, come on, right? It's important to you and others. I mean, but you just, you know, like to your point, they're overwhelmed. You know, they've accomplished their mission in the sense of placing the order or ordering the contract, and this is, you know, sort of, you know, closing out the file in a certain sense.
Yeah, in a sense.
In a symbolic way, right, by reporting it, right?
Yes.
So.
And, you know, the action has taken place. It's over, you know, whether it's a mod or a new order, new contract, you know, the contracting officer who has that ultimate authority is sitting here and saying, I did my job, time to go on to the next requirement. You know, so is anybody really following up? Yeah, there's some, because even back in 2004, there was a requirement from OFPP for the agencies to certify their FPDS data. And most of them still do that annually, certify it. I don't know how they certify it, because when I look at it, I still see lots of garbage.
Right.
That is really hard to
decide. I remember when that change was made, they tried to create, you know, the certification was because of the exact complaint. There's a lot of garbage in there.
Yeah.
And that was the attempted fix to that, like make the agencies have to certify that it's accurate.
But it's not higher on their priorities.
Oh, no. And
you know,
it's not.
You know, the curious thing about this, and we'll bring it back to category management.
Yeah, well, I was going to go back there. So, yeah, we need to go back there.
Is because the spend analysis is heavily dependent on something like FPDS, Federal Procurement Data System. That data set should inform the decision-making about how you manage categories of spend.
Right. And on that note, we're already Ray up on the first break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that data and its relationship or its element of the category management sort of philosophy. My guest today is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. And Ray, we're talking about data a little bit. We've talked about FPDS, other data sources, and its relationship to category management, or have you started that conversation? And, you know, one of the, you know, the points that came out of the last segment that you made is just the accuracy versus inaccuracy of the data and how people look at the data. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about what that really looks like in real life, the you know, the gaps in what people think the size of markets are versus not, and what you found.
Yes, and I know this is wonky stuff, you know, but I think it's really important to get to this overall message about
wonky, Ray. We love wonky on this show. Come on, man.
All right. Well, my wonk is going to come out then.
Okay.
All right. When you listen to the language coming out of OFPP under the past administration, actually past two administrations, and GSA, where they're saying, gee, we're spending a lot on contracts. And the numbers you often hear get kicked around are $450 billion or $500 billion. And that's kind of that benchmark. Well, it's curious that they get that from FPDS, which is not the full picture, because when you look at other OMB material, namely the budget says that they're spending about $760 billion. That's a big difference.
Yeah. So there's $250 billion.
Yeah, a real underreporting in the FPDS. You know, so when I look at the size of markets, you know, I take that into consideration that there's supposed to be this larger number. Mm-hmm. There are lots of reasons for that. It isn't just human shortcomings. Sometimes there are reasons why certain things are not reported, whether they might be classified work. It might be some agency that has a certain exemption from reporting. I mean, like Postal Service, they don't report to FPDS, but hey, that's federal contract spend.
Yep.
And even something as significant as the, and I'll say significant because each of the contracts are worth a couple $1 billion for the federal health plans for civil service and retirement plans for civil service. Those contracts are not reported to FPDS. So yeah, that just shows you some big, big holes.
Right.
So now, they talk about category management itself and the way GSA has cast this thing. They've said there are these sort of military heavy or defense oriented categories. And then for everybody, for all agencies, including defense, there are roughly 10 categories that they're counting right now. You look at some of the specifics in there, and I look at the numbers that they've associated with those. And they said the category manager knows that this is now a market, a category worth X billions of dollars, and they're going to manage it. Now, let's take one of those 10 categories, medical. And in the medical category, I got some statistics here. They are claiming that that's a $36.0 billion market, consisting of drugs and pharmaceuticals, medical equipment, accessories, and supplies, and healthcare services, which is certainly the big, big chunk. When you look at OMB's spend data, which is rolled up from all the agencies, two big players in this are DOD and VA, but there are other folks that are players in healthcare. And so the health market is actually $90.3 billion.
That would be 90?
$90 billion as opposed to $36 billion. Now, isn't that kind of a shortcoming?
I would say it's like 2.5 times a shortcoming, right?
Isn't it
something like that?
Yeah. You know, so if the category manager for medical, do they really have a full perspective of the market if they're holding it at $36 billion? I think they're missing a lot.
Right. Do you have a sense why there's this disconnect?
They use FPDS, and FPDS has got a lot of shortfalls in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said this before on the show, that the difference between what is reported as federal scale, the GSA MAS, so GSA schedule sales in the SSQ versus GSA sales in FPDS, they're missing about a third of the picture in FPDS. So you're not seeing the whole picture. And I mean, that's what GSA is supposed to be focusing on under category management, is the whole picture.
Right. Do you have any thoughts of what they could do? I mean, is it just a matter of more accurate reporting, or?
I believe that that's part of it. But just even stepping back and looking at what is in the budget that is submitted to Congress, you can see these larger numbers. I mean, sometimes I look at them, I say, well, where is this stuff reported? In many cases, it's not reported.
Right.
And again, there may be a valid reason. It may be because the agency is exempted from reporting. It may be because the person responsible for reporting believes that it doesn't need to be reported because it's such a low dollar threshold, low dollar value. It could be that they just absolutely missed it. You know, but you need to see the bigger picture, because if you're going to see that bigger picture, let's say it's a $90 billion picture of the marketplace, then now you know that there are more communities across the government who actually conduct the rest of this spending beyond the $36 billion, and more communities that can be part of a serious attempt at category management. And knowing that it's a bigger market, and oh, by the way, that means that you probably haven't counted all the competitors out there.
Yeah.
You might realize that there's enough competition that you don't have to be meddling in the pricing. Hello. I mean, that's what contractors want to hear.
Right.
And, you know, and I think it would behoove the government to start paying attention to how big the market really is, what the real dynamics are, instead of relying strictly on FPDS, which has its many, many faults.
Right. So, and you mentioned category management. So what is category management?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think if you look at industry standards, the concepts that came from industry, you know, it is a way of taking your overall expenses as a company or as a large enterprise and looking at those expenses and grouping them in ways that make sense for management purposes. Because if it's a professional services category, we'll just call it that for the moment, that's a different kind of management, a different kind of approach to developing that market and developing the right kind of dynamics within that market, as opposed to pharmaceuticals. Very different. I mean, one is, it's a very important commodity, pharmaceuticals, but professional services is a different kind of animal. And so not, instead of looking at, well, I do business with contractors X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to manage that as my business entity, contractor X may be the professional services, Z might be automobiles, and Y might be pharmaceuticals. Very, very different kinds of environment. And you even look at the way FAS operates and has operated for many years. You know, they're roughly broken into categories. And, you know, the efficiencies of recognizing that the way you buy furniture, because of the way that industry operates, is different than the way you buy automobiles. It's different. So you really ought to have that ability to segment your overall expenses. I think that's important. But then if you start putting people in charge of those segments to oversee them, then that is very helpful in providing some degree of continuity in the way that the management is done, as it's been decentralized out to the agencies who actually spend the money. If they're doing it under some umbrella or framework that makes sense, that would be very, very helpful for understanding how to really work that marketplace. So it's for the benefit of the vendors in the market as well as the purchasers. You know, one of the things that I know that the coalition often complains about, rightfully so, is the duplication in contracts. And one of those pieces of the category management, the way the government's doing it, is suggesting that, gee, that is something we could better manage. We could probably reduce the number of contracts, reduce that degree of overlap.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that would also entail, you know, GSA making significant improvements to its core schedule program, because, you know, what we see is contract duplication increasing because of lack of responsiveness at that contract level.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, my guest today is Ray Bjorklund. He is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion of data, category management, and the market. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting, and Ray is the data guy. Let me call you that, like, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't like that? Yeah. No, okay. I'll think of something better than that, okay? Maybe not by the end of the show, but next time you come on, we'll have something, okay? But we've been talking about data, the federal market, what is it, what isn't it, and also category management. And I wanted to keep on that, you know, sort of theme. I asked you towards the end of last year, what is category management? You know, what are the principles? And you can talk a little bit about that, the execution of it, and what you see going on.
Yeah, according to the guidance document, which did come out in, I think it was 2015, May, you know, it said the key preliminary steps are do proper spend analysis and all that. So the way you do that, you're supposed to, step one, gather and compile data. Step two, cleanse the data. Anybody doing that? No. Step three, remove data duplications. I kind of doubt it. Step four, remove non-category spend. Well, it's interesting when you look at the spreadsheets, the way that they've organized their categories, that they're mixing complex non-commercial products with commercial products. Mm. And that may or may not be the right thing, but you need to spend time as a user of the data looking at how the agencies actually report the data. And sometimes they report a product service code, or usually the product service code is often in error, where it may, you know, and I'll tell you an example I saw one time that actually came out of FedBizOps, which is, you know, the front end of the whole process. And this one agency, U.S. Forest Service, had a class 99, which would have been 99999, and say, you know, four nines. That was their product service code. And in the same day, they advertised, solicited a requirement under 9999 for Motorola mobile radios, sort of an IT thing, yep, communications. Yep. And that same day, they put out another one, 9999, for portable latrines. So
they got radios in them or something?
Maybe, maybe they're, you know, fully electric. They got GPS. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, right. Who knows, right?
Yeah, but that just shows you how things are mixed.
Right.
And then, you know, the other couple of categories here are steps to analyze and assess the data. And we've been talking about that, that they ought to be looking at spend fragmentation, you know, so they have an opportunity to have more consolidation of requirements and, of course, consolidation of contracts, but there's a risk in consolidating contracts too. You may start, just like strategic sourcing cause risks by sort of locking out a lot of small businesses.
Right.
So you have less opportunity, less competition. There is that downside. But being able to you know, really get an idea of how the suppliers work together or don't work together, and how big is this going to become, how volatile it is, I mean, that's the kind of analysis that they should be doing.
Now, I get what you're saying. I mean, I could see how it could be very helpful looking at an overall overarching sort of approach. But what you see in reality, in execution, is, for example, the IDIQs for office supplies, the time lag, because there's all data reporting there. And we're just talking about these IDIQ contracts they put in place. The time lag is months. It's, you know, months and months, six to 9 months they're behind, at least 6 months behind even just being able to, you know, respond to the data that was submitted 2 quarters previously. And by that time, you talk to the companies, the market's changed. The pricing's changed. That's a item where the prices do change a lot. And
exactly.
So it's very backward-looking. How do you address to the extent you can, the backward-looking aspect of it? And is that, you know, you know the view with regard to transactional data reporting and whether that's, you know, I think one of the things you could comment on is, in talking about category management, is the execution of it. You know, it's one thing about the principles and understanding what you're buying. Every purchaser wants to be able to do that. But you have thoughts on some of the issues I just described?
Well, there it is, in execution. And, you know, even recognizing that you may not be able to fix the timeliness of the reporting, but at least you could accept that as hopefully cleansed and cleaned and organized empirical data, which is historical. And yes, the market is evolving sometimes very rapidly beyond what that historical data is telling you. But it is that history. From there, you start to develop trajectories or vectors, forward looking. And you do that by looking at the budget, looking at the appropriations, looking at the kinds of requirements that are coming out of the agencies are actually conducting the spending. And that means get a handle on it, because, you know, maybe you're going to end up with 3 vectors, a most likely case, a worst case, and a best case. But at least you're going to have a sense of what direction the market's going. And if a specific commodity, like, say, the price of a stapler, is changing rapidly, you should be able to make adjustments based on that future estimation of requirement, future estimation of budgets and appropriations.
Estimation for your budgetary planning purposes or for acquisition purposes?
For acquisition purposes.
Okay.
So how the market's going.
So the question, let's use that stapler example. Are you going to do some, you know, acquisition planning around all this spend analysis, or because you somehow, even looking at the data, you figure out that the prices change rapidly, right, for this product. So what do you learn from that? Is the point of that you create a system that allows companies to rapidly and very quickly change their pricing that's available to the government? Which some have proposed, I mean, rather than
well,
the
can
static
do that now
approach.
Well, they can do that now with GSA Advantage, right? They can theoretically change their
pricing. Theoretically.
Okay.
Theoretically. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess you could offer temporary price reductions
and
things like that, but it's not a model where companies can instantaneously go up and change their prices, right?
No, not easily.
No, it is not easy.
No.
Right, and that has contract implications too,
oh, yes,
potentially, right? Which companies have to think about.
Yes.
Rather than an open-ended sort of marketplace where they can come in with their product and low pricing, if that's the market for that particular capability.
I mean,
is that
if it
fair?
Is a very commoditized item and it is an open market, then the category manager should be operating that way or thinking and executing their role.
Is the category manager the only buyer?
No, but they are the ones that should be setting some degree of policy, maybe a framework, maybe standards. I don't want to go too far in that direction, but at least some guidance so that all of the people who purchase that kind of commodity across the government know what the channels are, the opportunities, and how the prices are changing.
So is that person going to know better than someone at one of the agencies who buys that stuff on a regular basis?
They aren't going to know better about the requirement, but they should be able to consolidate all of the agency information and FBDS and SSQ and, you know, all the data out there, even SmartPay 2 data. I mean, isn't GSA still on the path to get level 3 data for credit card spending?
You tell me, right?
I'm not sure,
right.
You know, that's a way that they can get a lot of the additional data about commodities. How does the Defense Energy Supply Center buy fuel on behalf of so many different agencies across the government, mainly DOD? You know, they work out market pricing. You know, they do that.
Right, but their model is right. They have access to the latest market pricing, right?
Yeah, I mean, what stuff that you can generally get from EIA, Energy Information Administration.
They're looking forward and into the commercial market.
Yes.
For the pricing.
Right, and that's what I'm suggesting issue with, category managers should do also.
Yeah, goes to your execution of it.
Exactly.
Is they're looking backwards to, like, all this past history to try to inform where they're going in the future.
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I still believe that empirical data is a foundation. You know, but you extrapolate from that based on what's happening in the market. You know, and if they have, let's just say that you know, maybe a method of anticipating price changes, particularly for commodity items,
mm-hmm.
might
yes.
be done using some kind of market basket concept, which I know that they dabble in.
Right.
But doing that in an intelligent way would really help get a sense of what direction the prices are going.
Yeah. So some of the things like in the OMB circular, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on with regard to best-in-class contracts, best-in-class mandatory contracts, best-in-class preferred contracts, that whole approach. Anyway, we can do that next segment, Ray, amongst other things. I got some other good questions for you. My guest today is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. We're talking about data, the federal market, and a little bit about the category management. It's been quite wonky. Ray.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Well, that's okay. I enjoy it. So so I wanted to ask you just a little bit about the category management memo in particular, because one of the things, the goals of category management is to try to identify some best practices, in the way things are done. At least that's one of the reasons that the category managers are going to be given all this data.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on the concept of designation of best in class that was contemplated by that executive order?
Going back to some of my experiences, I was working major IDIQ programs at the beginning of the GWAC environment,
okay.
In the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all heard about the Mayflower Compact.
Yes. Well, not all of us. Now,
Of us.
Yeah, like you and I are old enough to know what that is. But
yeah.
There's a whole new couple generations probably of government contracting people who don't.
That's right. But you can kind of look at that particular initiative, which was executed by the administrator of the OFPP at the time, pulling together a number of program manager leaders from across the government who had very large scale IT contracts and say, let's sit down and work out some of the details about how we can overlap in some cases and how we keep things separate and how we generally operate. And the leaders, those managers, sort of signed up to it, and they call it the Mayflower Compact. What in part that was doing was establishing some practices that work reasonably well across the government. And as things evolved into FARA, FASA, through the course of that decade, then we got into a broader appreciation for interagency contracting. And in a way, that was kind of a best-in-class approach, thinking about a contract vehicle being not necessarily a mandatory contract program, but a contract that might be preferred because that particular agency owning the contract vehicle, IDIQ vehicle, understood how to operate it and knew how to buy the kinds of things that were in it. So in a way, that's like a best practice. It's kind of close to best in class, but I know you've got some great concerns about declaring something best in class because it does it can mess up the market by ruining the degree of competition, by confusing the users that need a requirement fulfilled, and so on. There's reasons why.
Yeah, and well, one of the things too is that the you know, and you've alluded to execution of category management and whether the execution lives up to the principles, let's say. How about
and
that?
It doesn't.
Yeah, flat out, it does not. You know, but in that, and this is a prime example of that, because the criteria for best in class that are identified in the circular are all process related. None of them are outcome related, and there's no provision in it to include in the conversation about what's best in class. You know, the industry partners who are on the contracts, who's probably their direct economic interest just as will be impacted to your point about managing markets, or impacting markets or distorting. I like that word, distorting markets.
Distorting, good. Distorting.
Yeah, that's a great description of it. You know, without any input from the private sector about what best in class really is or isn't. I think you hit the nail on the head. Is like what we're really looking for is best practices.
Yeah.
That can be shared across the government to try to improve procurement and
procurement
outcomes.
And the acquisition
outcomes.
Gateway and the way that they're right. Wrapping that around category management, that's one of the intents. And so
right.
The more that can be done, it'd be good. If somebody says, you know, that I'm the category manager for professional services, I really understand that. I've seen all these different contract vehicles. I can come up with a statement of work template or languages, you know, various chunks of language that will enable you to buy much more effectively.
Yeah, it isn't a big part of this, though, Ray, at the end of the day. I mean, you could talk about, you know, the way the government, has envisioned category management is, in a certain sense, a whole nother layer of government management in the procurement process, the way it's been laid out.
Unfortunately,
I mean, frankly,
you're right. You're right.
And to the point, like the principles, execution doesn't meet the principles or isn't living up to the concept across the board. That's the way it is. But isn't a big part of this really when we talk about, and it's great, it's listening to your discussion of it, a description of it, of what the goals are. It's like, I think about contracting officers in the description, they need to be business advisors too, right? Yes. A good CEO, you know, has got to develop some expertise and understanding what they're buying. That doesn't come just innately, right? You've got to have training. You've got to have experiential training, that professional development. And couldn't there be more bang for the buck trying to address those kind of issues or creating, leveraging centers of excellence like a GSA's FedSIM organization to try to, those folks, that's what they do. They live IT implementations in major ones, and they also do major professional services buys. Are there some of the strategies the government should be thinking about? Now we're in a period of transition.
You mean acquisition professionals need better training? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, I'm saying the obvious, right? Right.
But it's been a tough thing to do.
Make me feel bad, Ray.
It's been a very tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And even though you might be able to build out a wonderful curriculum that would give them that insight, that training, ability to think critically, the ability to balance so many different factors and be that really extraordinary business advisor, people are people, and it just has not happened to the extent that everybody would like it to happen. So we're going to live with what we got, I'm afraid.
Right, sure. So, you know, a couple other quick questions. I know, you know, and you've parsed the data and you talked about the, you know, the differences between the government's or OMB/GSA's estimate of what the market is or statements about what the market is versus the, which is 500, let's just say 500 billion versus 250 approximately that you've
They're
identified you've, mm-hmm. over the, and this is sort of the delta that's existed over the years, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you hear, comments like $2 billion saved through federal strategic sourcing. Do you have any understanding? You're the data. You live with this data. Do you have any understanding where they get those numbers?
Unfortunately, we don't have a good understanding because at least I've never seen a careful description of the methodology associated with that. But even going back to the claims that came out of OMB about all this kind of contract savings because, you know, there's certainly been category management, there's been strategic sourcing, there's been other kinds of crackdown policies that come out of OFPP. And they say, oh, well, you know, during this period, we've spent $50 billion less. And I think back to what I see in the budget, and I say, well, the requirement is $50 billion less. So if you're not spending, then you are going to spend less.
Right.
It isn't a matter of savings.
Right. They haven't saved anything because they spent what they had.
Yeah. Well, they spent what they had, and then the requirement went away, and
right.
they didn't have to spend as much as they had.
Right. They spent what they had, but it was less.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't get it. I don't get what the methodology is for declaring this savings. You know, I know there's inherently some savings there, but being able to put a hard number on it and stand before Congress and say that's what it is, I don't know that that can be done easily.
Right.
Unless they have a way of also measuring requirements change.
Right. So just looking at your, look at tea leaves a little bit. We got about a minute left, Ray. Where do you see this initiative going? We're in the midst of a transition, really, to the new administration. There'll be new, key personnel running some of the key procurement organizations. Where do you see things going?
I'd say it's an opportunity for industry trade associations and groups to point out that it has not achieved the objectives, the common sense objectives that were meant to achieve. And it's just one of those other kinds of regulations, quote unquote, that are probably unnecessary for the actual operation of the marketplace. I think that can be said.
Yeah.
And you can start to count up the number of people that have been messing around with category management and say, do we really need those people working on that kind of thing that's not really paying off? At least I personally haven't seen much of a payoff out of that. And okay, yeah, they say a couple million here, a couple million there. Out of $767 billion in contract spend, it's not really worth the time to put into it.
Right. There'll be other priorities that possibly
I think so.
Yeah. Ray, it's been great having you on the show. Good conversation. A little wonky. But you and I love that kind of stuff, and I hope the audience, I know the audience will as well. My guest today has been Ray Bjorklund. Ray is a president of Birch Grove Consulting. Awesome analysis, inspired insight. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Fed News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.